Today on Real Radio.
People who love him, worship him, and lift up his name. And people who don't know him or hate him, curse his name. And nobody curses Buddha.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack presents more in his week-long series on Christmas. Now, this collection of studies is based upon what Scripture has to say about God the Son coming into the world, why he came into the world, and how it all culminates. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Christmas, Where It All Ends.
Listen, contrary to religion, contrary to what men have dreamt up, there is no doctrine in the Bible of purgatory, for example. There is no other place. The Bible makes it very clear. Many people are taught that there's some place that you could go to, or you would wind up between this life and eternity, where you can somehow make amends. That is actually blasphemous to the blood of Christ. It's false doctrine. The Bible says to be absent from the body as a believer is to be present with the Lord. There is no intermediate place. And that's good news for us. Listen, if you know the king and you're en route to his kingdom, why stop at a 7-Eleven, or why stop at a fast food place or something in between? The Bible says no. Jesus said if you're living in this life, believing in him, and you die in this life, in the very instant you die, you never really die. Your body stops living in this world, but you are forever alive in the presence of God, the real you. And I think that's awesome. So Christmas, where it all ends. In our first study, we looked at this, Christmas, where it all began. And we saw that in our first argument, it was Christmas was born out of heaven. And we gave you verses and passages of Scripture to tell you that Christmas is not a 2,000-year-old celebration. According to the Bible, it is in fact an eternal doctrine that the Son of God has come from heaven to earth, and that he was born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, and that his mission and that his existence is eternal, born out of heaven. Secondly, we saw last week that Christmas, why it all matters, is because Christmas came for a purpose. There is an awesome purpose for the reason we celebrate Christmas. It is a bold, exciting time because of the doctrine given to us. And then now we come to argument and our final argument, number three, Christmas, where it all ends. Mark it down, church. Number three is Christmas will be eternity's anthem. Will you write that down? Number three, Christmas will be eternity's anthem. By anthem, what do we mean? The word anthem is an old English word, and it means singing, praising, worshiping. The word is also indicating experience, that when you sing an anthem, or when you consider the word anthem, you are talking about an adoration that you are participating in. And I want you to remember that in our study. How many of you are Christians this morning? Raise your hands. I got to see this. You have an amazing future. And your future, listen, will be comprised of being a living, eternally breathing in the presence of God anthem to his person. So Philippians chapter 2, your Bible is open to it, verse 9. It says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, listen to this, and those under the earth, speaking of the spiritual world, even in hell, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And let me add Acts chapter 4, verse 12 to that. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name, and it's Jesus, of course, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Is that awesome? Jesus Christ is salvation. Jesus Christ, his very name. And I know you guys have heard this before, but allow me to take opportunity now to say it again. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says that there's no other name given among humanity for all time and eternity whereby men, that's mankind, can be saved. But Jesus, God's not going to give another name. Listen, everybody. God is not going to give any other name. Listen, it is not Joseph Smith. It's not Barack Obama. It's not Muhammad. It's not Billy Graham. It's not the Pope. It's find a name. There's no other name that can save you. It is the name. Who says? The Bible says. Well, that's your opinion. It's not my opinion. It's God's declaration. I agree with God. It is Jesus Christ. Well, that's narrow. Yes, it is. Get over it. God sent his son into the world to die for our sins. That's pretty narrow. That means you and I cannot earn our salvation. We cannot work our way into heaven. It's all under that name of Jesus whereby we must be saved. And it's that name that is the most praised and worshiped and anthemed name in all of the world. And I think this is significant, what I'm about to say. I know it sounds strange, but it is also the most cursed name in all of the world. Isn't it interesting? People who love him, worship him, and lift up his name. And people who don't know him or hate him, curse his name. And nobody curses Buddha. Nobody slams their foot in the door and says, oh, Muhammad, that hurt. Nobody, but they'll say the name of Jesus, isn't it? Why? Because the issue is spiritual. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And I want to ask you today, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Do you know who he is? Not religion and not religiously, but do you know him personally? Christmas will be eternity's anthem for us. Number one, looking at it this way, because of who Jesus is, because of who he is. The Bible tells us, as we stick true to our Christmas theme in Luke chapter 2, verse 13, there the Bible says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Many, many, innumerable, the word means, amount of angels. And this is what they did. Notice angels' anthem. This is the anthem of angels, praising God and saying, this is their anthem, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Technically, the word means, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace upon all who believe. That's what that statement means. Peace upon all who believe. That's the announcement. And the angels in agreement sang an anthem. And that anthem was glory to God. But why did they say it? Why did heaven's angels at the birth of Christ make this announcement? Because look, it's just in a few verses up from what we read a moment ago. Luke 2:11 says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is, and this is the reason, Christ the Lord. That's the reason for the angels singing. Isn't it interesting that before the presence of God continually, angels are praising God? And they mean it. You know, you've read in the Bible, right? You've read where it says they are forever before the throne of God singing and shouting, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who is to come, the Almighty. Did you know they do that? And the Bible says they do it, watch, they do it eternally, forever. And in our minds, humanly speaking, we see it like this. Angels there, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who is to come, the Almighty. Okay, again. Holy, 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 Lord God. No, they're not doing that. They are, listen, there's so much we miss. There's so much that we don't get in this human life of ours yet. And we'll get later, I think, when we see him face to face. We'll join with those angels in saying, holy, holy, holy. You want to know why? Because it's meant, it's real, they mean it. The angels are not being forced, they mean it. Before the presence of God is absolute truth and sincerity. When the Bible says a moment ago, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, are you an atheist today? Guess what, we know something about you that you don't know. The Bible says someday you're gonna bow your knee. You say, oh, I don't believe in heaven. I didn't say you'd be in heaven. You're an atheist. Why would you be in heaven? You wouldn't be happy there. The Bible says every knee will bow. That includes Satan himself. And guess what? He will mean it. Can you imagine? Is that going to be a good day? Huh? When you see Satan? He's going to bow his knee and he's going to say, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, who is to come, the Almighty. And he's going to declare the name of Jesus, and Satan himself will mean it. And so will every human being. They'll mean it. Heaven or hell, they'll mean it. That is awesome. Because of who Jesus Christ is. Because of who he is. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Jesus is the creator, says the Bible. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life. That is, he's the life giver. All source of life comes from him. And the life was the light of men. Jesus, the revelation of who Jesus is in the consciousness of men. Mankind has to deal with who Jesus is. John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Miracle, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, says John. Now, 1 John, same author, different book. First epistle of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Listen to how much it mimics his earlier writing. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and I love this next one, and our hands have handled. John is talking about holding Jesus's hand. Remember, being with Jesus, John's the one who the gospel tells us, his very head at the upper room experience, John's head leaned upon the chest of Jesus Christ at the upper room. John is a man reporting, eyewitness account. John knew what it was like. Are you ready for this? He could hear the Son of God, God in flesh, heartbeat in humanity. John's ear rested upon Jesus' chest. Think about that for a moment. Our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Verse 2, 1 John 1. The life was manifested, and we've seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, and we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and these things we write to you. All of that to say, these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Wow. The angels sang about joy that should have been upon everyone who believes, because why? The Son of God has come. That's Christmas. Of who? It's all about who he is. If this church were to start preaching to you about what you need to do to get into heaven, or what you need to do to be a member here, or what you need to do to make God smile, then we have erred from biblical preaching. It's all about what he has done. And you and I are to come before him broken, spiritually bankrupt, as it were, and say, Lord, save me. I trust you to have died on the cross for my sins, to have been there buried in that tomb and then resurrected from the dead, as the Bible says. And you are my righteousness. You are my salvation. You are my holiness. And God, I ask you to receive me. And Jesus says, I will receive you. Listen, so much so that I will receive you, that I will never turn a person away who comes to me, he says. Is that awesome? And the Bible says, though your sins be like scarlet, he will make them as white as wool, as white as snow. That's what he does. It's because of what he does. Christmas is all about what Jesus Christ has done. And can I add, what he's doing. Isn't it awesome? The baby born in Bethlehem, he's alive today. Amen. Now, he's not a baby right now, you know that. If you want to know what he looks like, read the book of Revelation. It is awesome. In Revelation 5, verse 9, the Bible tells us. Revelation 5, 9 says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. This is heaven's host. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. That's the song of the redeemed. You're going to sing this in heaven, Christian. You're going to be rejoicing. Your anthem will be praise to Jesus Christ, the Christmas Christ, because of all that he's done. By the way, that word redeemed in Revelation 5:9 means this. It's awesome. It means to go to the market. Isn't that funny? to go to the market. You say, what? Listen, for you have gone to the market. The word means that you've gone to purchase something. The word means that, listen to this, it gets more technical. To do a buyback or to pay for, listen, what is already yours, redeem. Jesus redeems us. To buy back you, the one whom he made, whom he actually owns. He made us all. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ was slain to redeem us out of the marketplace of slavery. He has come, our Creator, but he didn't leave it at that. He came and paid our penalty for sin and death because we could never pay it. It was a bill too big for us. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came because Jesus Christ, his mission was to go to the marketplace of sin and of slavery and to purchase you and I out of by buying us back. How beautiful is that? What a story that is. I told you guys before, go see it again if you would, if you'll rent it. Les Miserables with, what's his name? Liam Neeson. There's other versions. They all stink compared to that particular one. And look at the story of redemption. Victor Hugo wrote that regarding the redemption of Jesus Christ. I know because I saw the play presented in London, and they made that very clear that Victor Hugo's vision was to make sure and to say that wherever this story is told, that the gospel is to be presented. I saw it in L.A., and they left that part out. I'm not kidding. In London, they included it. Story of redemption from the law. Story of redemption from death and sin. Jesus Christ has done it all for us. Listen to this. We're going to sing a song in heaven about his redemptive powers, and that's no secret. The Bible tells us in 2 Samuel 22:1, it says, "Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. On the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul." And David sang a song. Christian, listen, 2014, for that matter, every day, we should be singing a song of praise. And at the end of every evening, shouldn't we do that? Wouldn't it be great if we just laid our head down at night and said, "Lord, I want to sing you this song." And you say, "Well, Jack, I don't sing." Well, I'm with you. I don't sing. But when I sing to God, he likes it. It'll scare you to death, but God likes it. And we would sing, "Lord, you're awesome. Thank you for today. You delivered me from the jaws and from the claws of the enemy who sought to destroy my life today. Thank you, Jesus. Good night and God bless. Amen." And go to sleep. David sang a song to God for God delivering him. In 1 Chronicles 6:31, "Now these are the men whom David appointed over the service of," listen to their job, "song." They were hired to be the ministers of the servant of song in the house of the Lord. How awesome is that? David was a man of worship. Do you have hardship in your life? Death, finances, issues? You know what? You want to whip it? You want to have victory over all that stuff? Become a worshiper of God for all that he does. Go against your gut feeling and go with faith. Trust God. Watch what he does. He is in the most difficult of our situations of life. No one's exempt. And he answers. And we sing him a song of praise and deliverance. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 46. "For in the days of David and Asaph," Nehemiah is recounting, "of old, there were the chiefs of the singers and songs of praise," and the word means songs of thanksgiving to God. Singing, praising. It's going to be what we do in heaven, everybody. You know, we have 30 minutes of worship song here before we get into the word. Now, look, I've been to Russia, I think, 16 times over the course of the last 20 years. And I got to tell you, I love Russia, but one of the great things about the churches in Russia is this. You show up about an hour before service begins. I kid you not. Everybody's talking and having a good time. Then worship begins, and you sing worship songs for about an hour. And even though they're in Russian, you can sense the Spirit of God. It's awesome. Okay? And then the Word of God is taught for an hour, and then there's a little bit of a break for some snacks and food, like 15 minutes. You grab your cookies and stuff and your chai, and you go back into the sanctuary and you worship God again for about another hour. You want to know why? Because in such a dark land of where atheism ruled, those who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and they're very thankful to God about it, and it is not some time-sensitive issue. When is this going to be over? That's only the Western church that has other gods before our God. Our other gods is my agenda, my will, my time, my stuff, my importance, my priorities, not in the world of the persecuted or the hungry church. It's all about Jesus. My life somewhere back third, fourth, or fifth on the rung of that ladder. Thirdly, listen, Christmas, where it all ends, and our anthem before God and all in eternity is because of what we will know. Can you imagine? We can only imagine what this means. What we will know. Did you know you're going to know everything you need to know in eternity forever? What will we know? I don't know. The Bible tells us that we'll know. Listen, we will know and be known as we are known. The Bible tells us that God knows us perfectly, obviously. And regarding knowledge, it tells us in Scripture that we will know then what or how we've been known. In other words, will we have perfect knowledge in heaven? Apparently, yes, but I can't define that. What does that mean? Where it all ends in our anthem singing and the eternity with God and with one another is the fact that we're going to know. In Revelation 19, verse 6, the Bible says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters." Have you ever heard a lot of water? Have you ever been to Yosemite or stood at the base of a great waterfall? It's kind of terrifying if you've ever been there. The volume of that water is kind of intimidating. "And as the sound of a mighty thunderings." That's awesome. "Saying," what are they saying? What's the big noise? What's the clamor about? "Only this, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." There is a vibration coming out of heaven. There is a shout. There is a song. There is an anthem. And that anthem is that every believer shouts, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent, all powerful." The word is omnipotent, meaning all powerful is our God. He reigns. Our God reigns.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Christmas, Where It All Ends. It's a look at what Scripture says about the culmination of the person and work of Christ. This is part of a special Christmas series we're presenting this week here on Real Radio, and we'll continue with more of Christmas, Where It All Ends on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, we've been telling you about this month's special offer from Real Radio and how that ties into quite the worthwhile New Year's resolution for 2015. Matter of fact, here's Pastor Jack himself to tell us more.
Well, thanks, Davey, and that's right. I'm talking about the one-year Bible. You know, we're really blessed here at this church. We happen to be a large church, but we keep it small by each of us going through the Word of God together on a daily basis. It's been amazing. We've sold some 10,000 copies right here of the one-year Bible at church, and we want to expand that to our listening audience. And so for a limited time, we want to make sure that you get into your hands the one-year Bible, and you can start reading with us on January 1st, and make it a year that you read through the Bible in its entirety. And you know, the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
All right, thanks, Pastor Jack. Now, whether you call, click, or write, we ask that you please keep in mind that it does take time, energy, and of course, resources to get this one-year Bible into your hands. So prayerfully consider what you might be able to contribute as we near the end of 2014. Ask for it by name, the one-year Bible. All of that contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.